Brent Van Dyke, incoming National President, National Association Conservation Districts. I hail from Hobbs, New Mexico, southeast corner, agriculture education teacher, 31 years, farmer, rancher, now retired, and I think this is my job now.
National Association of Conservation Districts is dealing with some issues now where voluntary conservation practices come into question from activists. What's the situation?
Well, when you have issues like WOTUS coming down and these forced regulations, obviously those regulations get on our radar screen. We are an organization that believes and always have that there's no one better to solve environment, natural resource issues than the stewards, the farmers and ranchers on the land. They make their living off the land, they're good stewards, they want to be there for the next generation. So we totally believe in incentive-based voluntary conservation will work. It worked in the 30s and it's continued to work up to this point. We just have to make sure that the federal government understands the value in that grassroots initiative. We're in over 3,000 districts nationwide. We're in every community, every county, every parish. It's those people that are making their living from agriculture that understand those issues. And a perfect example, I live in the Lesser Prairie Chicken area of southeastern New Mexico, which extends up into Kansas. Fish and Wildlife Service wanted to list the prairie chicken, but through incentive-based voluntary conservation activities, cooperating with NRCS, oil and gas, ag producers, we were able between 2014 and 2015 to increase population by 25%. So the answers to a lot of these problems lie within those communities with the experts that live in those communities. So that's what we are. And we have issues nationwide, whether it's the endangered species, whether it's WOTUS, whether it's BLM 2.0 rule, or the wild horse burros in the West, we always have something on our radar.
Back to the voluntary conservation practices, are you getting some pushback from activist groups that think, no, it should be regulated instead of voluntary?
And we are. Obviously, there's that segment of the population out there that believes that the federal government can do it better than the people on the land. We tend to disagree. The people who are on the land, that are making their livings from the land, they want their children to be a part of that process for generations. And so they really do have the answers, but it has to be incentivized. I mean, we need the federal government, and that's the part the federal government can play, is coming in with those incentives to help those farmers and ranchers get over the hump. But I truly believe that the people on the lands are the best stewards for the land.
The wild horse issue, what is on the horizon for that, and what's the problem as it exists now?
You know, it's a complex issue. I, as an agriculturist and a person who's been around horses all my life, and we have horses, I love horses. But when I went to Nevada and toured some of the locations where the wild horses, the feral horses live, it's deplorable. You see horses that are hungry, they don't have proper hoof care. You know, the Burrow Act, the Wild Horse Burrow Act of the 70s said we can have 30 some thousand horses out on BLM lands in the West. That population now has more than doubled. We don't have the resources on federal lands to support those huge populations. And so they're deplorable for the poor horses. And every time federal government tries to stay within the law, they're getting sued. And so I'm sure they're tired of being sued by some of these groups out there. So they're ready to throw their hands up in disgust with the system. So, yeah, we have to address it. I don't think there's a magic wand out there that we wave and solve the problem. It's very complex. It's very personal to a lot of people. But we have to solve it. It's not fair to the horses to allow them to live like they're living.
What are some of the solutions that are proposed by NACD?
We, I'm not sure, have policy that really addresses one specific, but we've got to reduce the number of horses on the land. And as taxpayers, can we afford a $50 million a year feed bill? I don't think so. So opening up foreign markets to these horses, I think, is one solution that will help with the problem. But there's no easy solution. You know, there's those that want to process, have a processing facility in the United States. We used to have them. There is a market for horse meat, but that's extremely controversial. So I think let's start with allowing those markets to open up in Canada and Mexico, and then see if that can't resolve the problem. If it doesn't, we're going to have to take other steps.